Welcome to the second hour of Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. To join us in Portland, call toll-free at 503-963-4595. Elsewhere, call 1-877-475-4595. You can email us at courtside@trailblazers.com or send us a text message, courtside at 66937.
And hour number two, Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. And if you're watching on Comcast Sportsnet, you could see there the picture, the painting, the lithograph. I'm not sure what exactly you call that. A former Blazer, Jim Paxson. He is with us now in studio. Jay Allen, Antonio Harvey, Rebecca Harlow. Jim, great to have you in studio. Thanks for coming in.
It's nice to be here in Portland.
Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, you played for the Blazers back in the late 70s and throughout the 80s, and now you are a consultant and scout for the Chicago Bulls. How are things going for the Bulls? They had a nice win last night in San Antonio. Thanks to your scouting, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, three in a row on the road, and it's tough to win on the road in this league. And we had a rough stretch in December, so it's nice to win a few games.
What's been the change? What have you seen that's different right now?
I think the biggest change, Rebecca, has been that we had our rotation set. We got Kirk Heinrich back from an injury, then Tyrus Thomas came back, and Vinny changed the lineup a little bit. He went to put Heinrich as a starter. And that kind of changed things defensively for us. So that's helped us. And we've stayed, at least with our nine-man rotation, pretty injury-free.
And it seems like attitude-wise, things are looking up in that direction as well. You know, back in December, the team didn't necessarily seem like they were flowing like they could. And now it seems like there's a flow.
There's a little more of a flow, but mainly guys are understanding their roles. And for any team, and I look at the Blazers now with all the injuries, guys are trying to find their roles. And that's tough to do and to have consistency when you're trying to find your place. So we have that now. When we didn't have it, we looked pretty bad. So it's a fine line.
You know, it's interesting you talk about roles and how important that is to success on a full team. You guys, when you played here with the Trailblazers, you had Terry Porter, you had Jerome Kersey, you had some great players, but you also had some guys who were willing to sacrifice probably what could have been better offensive output because they wanted to play their roles.
Well, we had usually a tight rotation, and so Jack Ramsey was pretty disciplined, but we had a lot of fun doing it, and guys did accept their roles, and I happened to play with some guys that were pretty unselfish, which was a lot of fun.
How important is it at the NFL, the NBA, at this level, just to have those roles defined? You know, as we were talking last hour with Mike Rice, you know, Nate McMillan has a tough job coming up now that the Blazers are getting healthy, I mean, which you would think would be a good thing, and it is a good thing. But, you know, with Rudy coming back and Nick is back, hopefully Travis Outlaw in a few weeks, maybe Greg Oden later in the season, that's a tough juggling act for an NBA coach, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I've been in management long enough to say you want those coaches to have those tough decisions to do that, and Nate can do that. He's done a tremendous job here, and when I was living here, it was fun to watch him, and now being kind of from afar and watching games, is he's done a good job putting lineups together, and when they've been injured and having guys and filling them in, Jared Bayless has really stepped up, so it's been fun to watch.
Tomorrow night, it's 80s night here at the Rose Garden.
I wore my bell bottoms.
No. Yeah, what were the 80s like for you, Jim?
I don't remember. Go back to that picture again.
Yeah.
With the great mustache
and the permed hair.
Oh, my goodness, the split down the middle and the mustache. That's all. Yeah.
Now, why'd you get rid of the mustache? People love the mustache.
Look
at that.
Come on.
We're looking at the trading card. On
the only 2 years I made the All-Star team, I wore a mustache.
Well,
I don't know.
There you go. Okay, but in all seriousness, what are your memories of those teams? I mean, you guys obviously had some great teams back in the 80s.
I think the biggest thing is that we all got along and we all played hard, and we had the Lakers in our division, unfortunately, and we always struggled because of that to get past the first round. But I played with Michael Thompson, Calvin Natt, Darnell Valentine, Kelvin Ranzi. I mean, on and on and on with a lot of good players that were a lot of fun to play with, and I just had a great time.
Rotation.
You're up.
Well, I was trying to defer to Rebecca because,
yes,
you know, she's a
lady. I didn't see you. I was just listening.
Well, it's all good. Well, you know, Jim, one of the things that stands out to me, this team, and not just your team, but this Trailblazers team traditionally has always had guys that were willing to do whatever it took to get a victory. Obviously, there were some lean years from about 2000 to about 2003, but this has been traditionally a great franchise in terms of the players that they put on the floor.
Well, there was 1 year we didn't make the playoffs when I was here. It was 82, and we finished 42-40, but there were only six teams that made the playoffs, but every other year we did. And I think there was this franchise has done a great job of drafting players. They've done a great job of putting teams together, and it hasn't really – the general managers and presidents have kind of changed, but the team has kind of moved along, and I think this city has had a lot to be proud of. There was a certain period of time where it was tough, but they've bounced back tremendously, and the fans are coming back. They're selling out every game, and as a former player, even though I work for another team, I get a lot of enjoyment knowing that this city has got a team they're proud of again and comes out and competes every night because they deserve that.
Going back to the Portland situation now, what is your take on just the oddity of the injuries that we've seen this year? Have you ever seen anything quite like what Portland has seen this season?
Yeah, it's happened in our league, but you know, for this team with all the expectations in 1 year to have this happen the way it has, has been unfortunate. And at the same time with Greg Oden, with all the potential and I know, you know, with Kevin Pritchard, there's 29 other general managers. I'd have taken Greg Oden, you know, and it's unfortunate the guy's been hurt. And he's still young enough that hopefully he doesn't get discouraged through this. But, I mean, from afar, you don't see it quite the same. But as you go through it, as you go through watching it, is that how I look at it is you got young players that are getting a chance. And even though Rudy's a young player now, he's going to get a chance to play if Brandon misses some time. And so it's just something that happens in our league.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, you talk about guys getting a chance. And two guys that have really been impressive to me, two rookies, Dante Cunningham and come on.
Jeff Pendergrass.
Yeah, because, you know, names don't always work with me.
I know.
But those guys, you talk about the development. And coming into the season, there was supposedly a lot of depth. But a lot of the guys had never seen the court before. Next year, this team is 10 times better because guys like Jeff Pendergrass and Dante Cunningham have had a chance to get on the floor and actually gain some experience. So if they're called upon next season, they'll have the advantage of actually having been on the court. And then you have Greg and Joel coming back as well.
Well, that'll all be a positive. And I did have the one advantage of watching Pendergrass play at ASU last year and in the Pac-10. We ended up taking Taj Gibson with our pick, who's had a good rookie year. But we debated between him and Pendergrass based on – you know, different skill sets. And Cunningham, the way Villanova plays, he comes in and plays hard. So it's you want 14, if you can afford a roster of 14 to 15 players that can all play, and unfortunately only 12 can dress. So, but it's something that all of us in the league, you want to have that depth. And hopefully Portland, you know, look at the standings today. They're in fifth, tied with Utah. So tomorrow night's a big game.
Yep.
And Utah's been playing better. But at the same time, the Blazers are getting a little bit healthier, even after a loss like last night. So I see them bouncing back in a big game tomorrow night.
Are you surprised what, you know, your guy Gibson and then Pendergrass and kind of what they've been able to do in their rookie seasons? Or, you know, the fact that they had, you know, successful college careers, obviously they were seasoned from that standpoint.
Well, Taj is 24,
yeah.
So he's older. And I don't know how old Jeff is, but he was a four-year player. Right. So you expect those players to come in and be able to be a little bit more mature. And that's the dilemma you go through is drafting players, the potential between someone coming in and help you right away. And I think Kevin and the staff has done a good job of getting both players with potential and players that can step in right away. And that's something you have to balance all the time.
We don't deal a lot in rumors on this show unless Mike Rice is here, and then we get into it a little
bit.
Well,
he lives on the rumors.
Exactly.
So.
He creates some of the
rumors. He built the rumor mill, turns out. He built it.
Follow him on Twitter.
I don't think he knows what Twitter is. I don't think he knows what a computer is.
Yeah. Although he has many, many Twitter accounts.
He's not here. We can do this, right?
Exactly right. But, you know, we see the different rumors out there about Kirk Heinrich, and he's been rumored to be traded for a couple seasons now. Do you expect that, not necessarily specifically about him, but do you expect the Bulls to be active at the deadline? Or
I think our team right now is trying to find a little more ways to move some money.
Mm-hmm.
And 80% of the league is all trying to do that, so usually deals don't happen that way, you know. So I think it'll be difficult for us. But Kirk, since he's been in the starting lineup, I heard this stat the other night when they came through Phoenix. When he plays defensively, the opponents shoot 43%. When he doesn't play, they shoot 47%. Now, he's in guarding all five guys, but he does make a big impact, and he guarded Steve Nash the other night and did a tremendous job. So he's important to us. Derrick Rose, though, is our franchise player, and he's somebody, and Joakim Noah has been tremendous for us in the Wall Bang. You know, it's just a balance. But Kirk's been really good for us, and we're just trying to find a way that we can be a free agent player and maybe add one and or two key pieces next year.
You know, you talk about both those guys, both the point guards, Derrick Rose and Kurt Heinrich, tremendous. I think Derrick Rose right now, outside of obviously – guys like Deron Williams and Chris Paul might be the third best point guard in the entire NBA, young point guard in the entire NBA. His skill set, his athletic ability, his decision-making all seem to be veteran-labeled.
I think what's happened for him, he only played in one exhibition game and missed all of preseason, and he started off very slowly, and I think it was a big part of why our team started off slowly. Mm-hmm. And we always have that West Coast trip that we get drilled. We got drilled here in Portland, so that usually happens to us. But I think it's something that Derek has gotten healthy, and he's a very good player, and he's learning the game. And I was around LeBron long enough to understand that great players, and you have one here in Brandon Roy, that makes other players better, is that they understand as they mature what they need to do every night to help your team win. Some nights it's 35 points, some nights it's rebounds, some nights it's defense, and Derek's still learning that. He's not at that level yet, but he is becoming to be one of the better young point guards in the league.
We have to let you get out of here because you have another commitment to get to, but I did want to ask you before you go, tomorrow is the 80s tribute, and a guy that we work with, Michael Holton, you played with him. Now, you got to have some dirt or some, because he's so squeaky clean. I mean, do you have something you can give us on Holton?
I have to say is that Michael is squeaky clean, and the Terry Porters of the world and those guys that I played with are guys that we're really good guys, and my brother John got to play with Michael too, so we both had Michael Holton, and neither one of us have dirt on him, so he is a good guy. I'm glad he was able to land on his feet after what happened at U of P for him to be here, because I know he likes Portland. His family likes it here.
Absolutely. He's a great guy.
What about those short shorts, Rebecca? Come on. Forget the mustache.
I was a Bulls fan back in the 80s.
Okay.
I'm down.
All right.
Hey, Jim, we'll let you get out here. Thanks for coming in, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay.
And we want to remind people, too, still a few tickets, precious few tickets available for that game. Just go to trailblazers.com for more info. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Former Blazer Jim Paxson with us here on Trailblazers Courtside. Wheels is going to be with us in the next segment. We'll take a quick timeout, come back with more right here on the Blazers Radio Network, Comcast, Sportsnet, and trailblazers.com.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Back here on Trailblazers Courtside on the Blazers Radio Network, Comcast, Sportsnet. No, I think we'll wait till later. You don't need to check your email right now during the show.
Man, as always.
Streaming live, trailblazers.com. Antonio Harvey is with us. Jay Allen, Rebecca Harlow here as well. Now, this is not a real Burberry scarf. That's a knockoff, right?
Yeah, this hater right here.
That's what I thought. How about your Saints? Do you want to say something about your Saints?
I'm not.
Just get it out of the way because I'm tired of it, but I know you're
I'm not going to say anything. I had no intentions of saying anything about the Saints. But since you brought them up.
Tone, I'm going to have your back on this one. I'm going Saints, too.
But you're a Bears fan.
How can they not be America's team right now?
America's
they
team.
They are an underdog that shouldn't have been
I was rooting for them until I found out that you were.
A city that has been downtrodden for so long, and now they're coming up. They're in the Super Bowl. The city is on fire. I talked to my folks back at home, and they said, man, they started lighting the fireworks. I said, come on, man, we know that those weren't fireworks. They were like, yeah, okay. But, you know, it's New Orleans. This is what happens.
Yeah, or hey, forget about America. Let's think about Portland. And if you're a Portland Blazers fan, you can be a Saints fan because if you take a look at a guy in all seriousness, like Drew Brees, he's been around for a few years. He's been building. Now you've got to say he's one of the top five quarterbacks. He's a Brandon Roy. And then you got a bunch of young kids. There are two people on that team who have Super Bowl rings.
See?
So
I actually am pulling for the Saints in this game. I think it would be great for New Orleans. I just don't like to admit that to
you
because and Drew Brees, he's a great community guy. I've kind of read up a little bit on that. I mean, he's been doing a good
job. $1 million back to Purdue for a library. He's done some good stuff.
There was a huge run of dislocated families that came up to Portland. So there's a huge New Orleans base here as well, which is always nice. So it's what you need to be doing, man. If you're not a Saints Blazer fan or Blazer Saints fan, there's something
wrong. You
need
to shake yourself.
Although it's going to be hard, though, you guys. Peyton's so good.
Oh, it's not going to be an easy road.
I think it's going to be a good game.
That's not
really
an easy game. I think it's a good game.
Okay,
we got to figure out what we're going to do. For our Super Bowl party. We should have a Super Bowl party someplace.
Mandy and I are having a Super Bowl party. Didn't you get your invite? Didn't you guys?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's wrong
I don't
with
know
you?
If we sent them out yet.
That's so rude.
All right. Brian Wheeler is with us now here live on Trailblazers Courtside. Wheels, who do you have in the Super Bowl?
Well, I think this much. You know, once the Blazers lost to the Hornets last night, pretty much any discussion of the city of New Orleans, for me, there's a moratorium until at least tomorrow's game tips off.
Wheels, I love you for that.
All right. And I'll stop talking about it until later in the show.
Great. All right. Well, you're leaving after this segment, right? Wills, obviously a tough one last night. Boy, you know, Nate talked about it after the game, execution down the stretch. The Blazers, I think, again, obviously you miss Brandon Roy in that situation. But, you know, I'll give Jared Bayless credit. He took that shot. He stepped up, took the shot. And as Nate said today, he didn't hit that one. But I think it was Brandon that said it today when we talked to him. He said he didn't hit that one, but it's good experience for him to go through it, and hopefully he'll get the next one.
And, you know, the reality is one shot doesn't win a game.
You're right.
You know, it doesn't lose a game. It can win a game, but a one shot can never lose
a game.
They
probably shouldn't have been in that position.
Never should have been in that position to begin with. But that's a good look. He created space. He faded a little bit, probably more than he wanted to, and that's what forced him to shoot it long. But that's a good look, you know, from a young man who will be in this position again at some point in his career.
Well, I love Jared's response, and we know that he's not lacking for confidence, but afterwards he said, well, you know, hey, Michael Jordan missed, you know, a game-winning shot or two as well. So the fact that he's putting himself potentially in the category of a guy like MJ who attempted a lot of game-winning shots in his day, hopefully Jared, if he has anywhere near the same opportunities in his career, then we're going to be talking about a young man that's going to have a very bright future, and I think we feel that already.
Hey, Wills, you know, talking about that game last night, there were instances where I thought the Blazers looked absolutely phenomenal, and then obviously there were times when they got a little bit stagnant, but overall, I was impressed with the way this team is playing, especially considering that, you know, guys are hurt. Nicholas Batum looked absolutely wonderful last night. I was very impressed with the way he came out, pushed the ball up the floor. He wasn't looking to pass. He was actually looking to take the ball the length of the court and attack the rim, something that the Blazers miss sometimes to me.
Well, you know, I know we don't live in Hollywood. I once did. And I can tell you, as somebody who once did, I know Rebecca spent some time in L.A. as well. I mean, these games, pretty much lately, have just had Hollywood endings. I mean, I wish we had a few more that ended with the good guys winning. But, I mean, for anybody who likes drama and anybody who likes competitive games, the Blazers have certainly been in their share in the last week or two. And I have a feeling that's probably going to be the way it's going to be. I don't think there's going to be too many blowouts for this club, at least until they get everybody back as healthy as possible. But the fact that they are as competitive as they've been and the fact that they're playing some quality teams that are fighting for the playoffs just as they are, we've had some great games and hopefully you know, a few more results with the winning team being the good guys. And I think, as you mentioned, Nicholas Batum coming back last night was a very, very encouraging sign and hopefully something that you know, is just going to add another piece for Nate McMillan to choose from. He almost had a full complement of players in uniform last night, so we're getting closer to getting a full roster again.
Wheels, you know, in practice today, they definitely discussed the fourth quarter and how they want to handle that situation, especially tomorrow. And, of course, without Brandon and the go-to guy, they've got to find some different looks. Who do you think will be the guy to step up tomorrow in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, you know, again, against Utah, and we're talking about, you know, another team that the Blazers have some very competitive games against. This has been kind of a home court series between these two clubs. In fact, the Blazers have won the last six with Utah at the Rose Garden and nine out of the last 11. So they've usually saved some pretty good basketball against the Jazz for the games at home. The crowd, you know, seems to get up for the Jazz, not quite as much as the Lakers, but, you know, maybe a close second in terms of other teams in the NBA. So I think it's going to be another competitive fight. Anytime you're playing a Jerry Sloan-type team, you know, you're going to see that it's a game that is going to be hard fought. So I expect nothing different. We've got two teams that are essentially percentage points away from each other in second place in the Northwest Division. So Jazz have been playing better as of late. They're trying to get some quality wins on the road, and certainly tomorrow night that would be one if they could get it. So I'm hoping that maybe the Blazers can have a little more space between themselves and the Jazz, and it won't come down to a final shot again. But if it does, you know, I think Nate's going to have some options, and maybe it's just going to be a case of going to whoever seems to have the hot hand tomorrow night, because, again, without Brandon Roy, you know, I don't know if there's just one guy that you can choose as the guy that you want to have the ball in his hands and maybe making the decisions. I guess from a veteran standpoint, Andre Miller would probably be that guy, and then you trust that he'll make the right decision either for himself or getting the ball to whoever maybe has that hot hand in the fourth quarter to hopefully rescue the Blazers and get them a victory that they unfortunately didn't get last night.
Now, Wheels – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, I was just going to say, Wheels, you make a good point that it's whoever is going to have the hot hand, and that's a long list right now, and I just think that speaks so much to the depth. And even looking back to last night, I think it's really – a big step that Nate chose Jared to take that shot because a couple of months ago, that wouldn't have happened. And I think it's really interesting that we're seeing that confidence growing in all those guys. And you can throw Jeff, Dante, not that they'd be taking that last shot yet, but throwing those guys into that category, they're really building Nate's trust, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at a situation every year Nate says that, you know, he hopes this is going to be the year that he doesn't worry as much about rebuilding as he is concerned more about trying to take an established team and take it to the next level. And every year, for whatever reason, this year it's been injuries, obviously, he's had to bring some young guys along again. And I think he's done a terrific job, once again, you know, finding a way to keep this team competitive where, you know, you look at a lot of other teams in the league that have injuries, and a lot of those teams have, you know, folded up the tent and basically have lamented the fact that maybe they have one key guy that's out. Basically, anybody who tries to talk about complaining about playing through injuries, they need to get in line behind the Blazers when it comes to finding a way to fight through things. So, you know, we run into some teams on the road that say, yeah, you know, we're kind of like you guys. No, 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 you aren't like us. I mean, basically, nobody has been like us. So from that standpoint, it's been tremendous that the Blazers have had the record that they have to this point. And I just hope, you know, they continue to get rewards along the way. That obviously allows them to continue to fight the good fight every night, getting some positive results. And last night was a step backwards in that respect, but tomorrow night's a new opportunity.
Now, Wills, let's get to the hard-hitting stuff. Tomorrow night, it's 80s night, the tribute to the 1980s decade for the Blazers. What were you doing in the 80s?
Well, let's see. I was graduating college in the 80s.
With a mustache, I'm sure.
No, I've never had one. That's an interesting thing. Never
I'd like to
one.
See Wheels with a mustache. We got to get a picture of Wheels and paint a mustache on
Let's
it just so I can see.
Or Wheels, you should just rock it. No more shaving for the rest of the season.
Wow, that's an idea. Well, you know, I'm kind of like Tone, and it's an interesting thing. It's really interesting for Tone because he's younger than me. But I'm more of a 70s guy when it comes to music and some of the, you know, the cultural things that were going on in the 70s. But my friend Bobby Medina is a big 80s guy. If you go into the Blazers weight room and he has the choice of the music in the weight room, it's always 80s. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he loves the 80s. I'm more of a 70s guy when it comes to music. But, yeah, I'm going to be curious to see. I was thinking if I got anything 80s in my closet. I hope I don't. But I may take a look for maybe one item that would be 80s-ish to wear tomorrow. But, you know, when we look ahead to tomorrow, gang, and I think the reason to be very optimistic, you know, we can look at all the angles and, you know, who's going to match up and who's going to win the Aldridge, you know, Boozer matchup for tomorrow. But I think the best indicator of the Blazers winning tomorrow night, and we brought it up last Wednesday when the Blazers won at Philadelphia, 8-0 on Wednesdays this season.
There you
Blazers.
Go.
So if that doesn't tell you that the Blazers are in a good spot tomorrow night, I don't know what does.
Well, I'll tell you, Wills, I like the 80s. But I don't understand. There's no musical. There's no like identity for the 80s. What's common for
what
Bobby Medina
about?
Would differ
what,
with
what
you
about
on that?
Those crazy pants? Those, you know, what were those things called? Those
the parachute pants?
Yes.
That's the 90s. That's MC Hammer.
No.
Yes.
Mullets
MC
were 80s,
Hammer.
Those were 80s, I think.
No, MC Hammer brought out the pants, and that was from the 90s. I was in college.
I think mullets were 80s. I know.
Well, that was in your neighborhood, Wills. In my neighborhood,
there you go, Wills.
We had flat tops.
Mustache and a mullet for you the rest of the season.
A mullet would be better than me with a mustache.
I just like to see Tone with some hair, period.
Oh, I can show you pictures. I had the big, tall, tall flat top.
All right, Wills, we got to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. We got another guest coming up. Thanks for coming on, and we will see you here tomorrow night at the Rose Garden. And, of course, tomorrow afternoon, noon to 3, Wills at Work on 95.5 The Game.
Well, I just want to say in closing that it's just a great thing that we've added some class to that set with Rebecca on for once. And I'm just happy. And I hope she knows she's welcome back anytime.
Absolutely.
Hey, Wills,
what about
you.
Me and Tone?
Wills, I got to tell you, they put a little Hitler mustache on your picture, man. That's so not cool. You guys got to get that
off. All right, Brian Wheeler with us live. We appreciate that. Wheels and Tone will have the call tomorrow night, 6 o'clock on 95.5
You'll
The Game.
And
can we go to break with the captain's cam as we head to break? The captain's cam, Rich Patterson, our courtside radio producer, our network coordinator, and does a tremendous job for us each and every week. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. And when we do, we're going to tell you a little bit about this award that the Blazers in the Rose Garden, that they have won as far as going green. We'll have the information on that as we continue here on Trailblazers Courtside. Stay with us.
To Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Back here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. We are live tonight on the Blazers Radio Network, our flagship station, 95.5 The Game in Portland. Also Comcast Sportsnet and streaming live each and every week on trailblazers.com. And we're going to shift our focus away a little bit from the game on the court. We'll get back to your texts and emails and your calls in just a second. But Justin Zollner, the Rose Quarter Director of Property Management, is with us here in studio. And the Blazers, the Rose Garden, won a big award, I think it was yesterday, right? Tell us all about this.
Yeah, I thought you were here to talk to me about another 5'9 point guard. I thought you missed maybe like Damon Stoudemire wanted to get somebody back here for this championship run we're going to go
for. Doesn't he know the Blazers have point guards?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't want to say that.
No, we're just kidding. Did you play a little ball? You were a big college basketball star, right?
Oh, yeah. I took on the Patterson guys down at U of O, Fife, and all those guys. I remember I got to play against Antoine Stoudemire once, and I hit a few open threes on him, and he got a little upset with me, and so then he started dunking. And that's when I decided
that's not right.
Yeah, I figured real quick I don't belong in the NBA.
All right, about this award, the LEED Gold certification for a major venue, the Blazers are the first to win this, right?
Yeah, this is a great milestone for all of sports from the perspective that we're the first major sports entity to ever receive an award like this. And LEED stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, and it's awarded by the U.S. Green Building Council. This is an organization that looks at all building operations across really the world, but in the nation specifically. And they're looking at how good are you from a green perspective, from an environmental design perspective, and what you purchase and what you get rid of, and what do you, how do you deal with all that stuff from energy efficiencies, and they decided that after review of our project that we deserve gold.
Very nice.
What specifically do you guys here at the Rose Court or the Rose Garden do? You're talking kind of in general terms, but what specifically do you do to keep it green here?
Yeah, well, some of the big items are we actually purchase 100% of renewable power and renewable utilities through Northwest Natural Gas. So we're the largest provider or the largest consumer, if you would, of those two types of renewable energies here in Oregon. If fans come, they have an opportunity to participate. There's recycle stations around the Rose Garden Arena. They get to participate in that. We divert over 60% of our current waste stream. We divert it from the landfill, and then we actually keep it in the recycle stream. We do a lot of energy efficiency projects here at the arena, and we're really in this core, if you would, of the green economy. Portland is known worldwide as being the most sustainable city, and when Larry Miller came in and looked at what we were doing, he gave us this this vision of just pushing the envelope even further, not only on the basketball court, but everything that we do from a facility, from an operations perspective, and we took that and rolled with it. This was a 2-year long process. We're really excited. Our fans were announced. It was announced last night at the game, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a really good applause. I think people understand what this really means, that we're participating in something that's really unique about our region. And puts Portland on the map.
It's one of those small things, but my kids noticed it about, must have been a couple of weeks ago, the lights in the annex garage, and I'm sure all the garages, are motion sensor?
Yeah, we installed energy-efficient motion sensor-type lights in the garages. We did that here in the lower levels of the arena. Though you guys walk around, you probably see them. They're banging on and off. We're looking to do those types of projects throughout the entire facility moving forward.
Yeah, that was one. Like I said, that was one of those things. My kid, Dad, what happened? Because you get so
like
used to it
the garage,
after,
right?
After 10 years, you're in the same thing over and over again, and then all of a sudden you start to notice that little bit of flicker. But it's literally from light switch to light switch as you're driving through. One comes on, the other goes off, which to me is just the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, last year the NBA did a real good look at all the franchises in the league, and they decided that we were one of the top. So they came in and kind of did a spot on us on NBA Entertainment.
Well, okay.
And they hung out after the game and kind of found that what happens is everybody leaves the arena. Our cleaners come through, and they pick out all the recyclables and the compostable products, and they keep that from the landfill. It's something very unique to what we do. And we're very excited about programs like that.
All right, Justin, great stuff. Congratulations. I know you were a big part of winning this award and what's going on here. So thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for your support, guys.
All right, appreciate it. Justin Zollner with us from the Rose Quarter. And congratulations to everybody here at the Rose Garden and the Rose Quarter for this award. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get to some of your calls, your texts, and your emails. We haven't had a lot of time for calls at this point. But if you'd like to jump on the phones with us, 503-963-4595, toll-free, 877-475-4595. You can also drop us an email, courtside@trailblazers.com. Text us by sending the word courtside to 66937. Trailblazers Courtside returns right after this quick timeout.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Trailblazers Courtside continues here on the Blazers Radio Network, Comcast Sportsnet, and, of course, streaming live at trailblazers.com. And we want to remind you, speaking of, you know, green energy, the show brought to you by Pacific Power's Blue Sky Renewable Energy. Lighten your footprint and enroll at pacificpower.net. Let's turn the answers on. The Blazers will be looking for answers tomorrow night against the Utah Jazz. Not that, I mean, we mentioned this earlier, I think it was before you got in here, but the Blazers, going back, I mean, five, six, they haven't played a bad game.
No.
Now, they've lost some games. They haven't necessarily executed in the fourth quarter every night to the extent that I know Nate would like to see. But they've been playing really some great basketball.
They haven't played bad basketball. They've been in situations where they could win every game. You know, they've got the graphic up now. The Washington game, very winnable. The Boston game, very winnable. The New Orleans game, very winnable. But unfortunately for the team, they're missing the guy that they normally go to in those situations. And Brandon is the guy who you put the ball in his hands, and you know in the fourth quarter he can deliver. With Jared Bayless, with Andre Miller, even LaMarcus, and people don't understand. A lot of people say, well, you know, LaMarcus has to step up and carry the team in the fourth quarter. The problem with that, LaMarcus doesn't handle the ball. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to bring the ball down and get it to LaMarcus Aldridge. The team isn't doing that particularly well. When they start doing that, I think he'll start delivering.
Lots of texts coming in. 66937, send the word courtside to that number. I am a Trailblazers and Colts fan, Antonio, and there's nothing wrong with
me. Why are you reading?
I read them as they come in.
You're just trying to get under my skin right now.
Here's another one. Is there any chance we could trade Rice for Rebecca and have her on the show all the time? That would be a KP-type trade.
That would be an upgrade.
Nothing against the wild one, but
nope.
I think Rebecca said she's going to come in next week again when guys will be on the road, but me and Michael will be here.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. Everything against the wild one.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean, I like him, but if I had to choose between Rebecca and the wild one, that's just a no-brainer.
Couple things here.
She's smarter, younger, more athletic.
Let's bring it back to basketball for a second, could we?
I'm talking
talked
basketball.
To Nate earlier today out of the facility,
okay. And
he's going back to Jared Bayless in the starting lineup and putting Juwan Howard back in the starting lineup. Your thoughts?
I like them both. You know, it's an experiment. Basketball is an experiment. When things kind of go a little off kilter, you want to get the right guys. You want to change them around a little bit. See if it works. If it doesn't work, go back to what works. That's a smart coach. He's not stubborn enough to get caught in one thing, something that works in his head that doesn't work on the court. That's bad business. But Nate McMillan realizing, got to go back to what works. I like it.
All right, we're going to take a break, but before we do, it's time for the Horizon Air Trivia Contest. First caller to correctly answer the following question, you'll win a $25 gift certificate to Typhoon, and you'll be entered into a drawing to win a trip for two to Santa Rosa, California, courtesy of Horizon Air, Wings of the Great Northwest. And remember, this is a call-in contest only, so don't bother emailing or texting on this contest. The question tonight, Martell Webster changed his number this season from number 8 to number 23. Name the player that wore uniform numbers 30 and 31 during his time with the Blazers. So uniform number trivia here on the Horizon Air Trivia Contest, 503-963-4595, toll-free 877-475-4595. Quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll read some more emails, get to some more texts as we continue here on Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Trailblazers Courtside continues, brought to you by Pacific Power here on the Blazers Radio Network, 95.5 The Game. Our flagship station on the radio side, Comcast SportsNet, and, of course, streaming live, as always, at trailblazers.com. And we want to remind you to get in the game with the new Trailblazers Scratch It from the Oregon Lottery. Grand prize, $10,000. The new Trailblazers Scratch It. Your team, your game. Now, earlier, Mike Rice was on, and he said he would like to see Nate McMillan find a way to play Martell Webster and Nicholas Batum together. I thought, and he's not here, but I thought he was saying perhaps look at starting Martell, as long as Brandon's out, starting Martell at the two, Nick at the three, but at the very least getting them on the court at the same time. I mean, you got to find a way to get Nick some more minutes, right?
That's a tough one, man. It's a tough one because the guys are playing well. You know, you don't want to take any minutes away from Martell Webster.
No way.
Hottest guy on the team right now. You don't want to take any minutes away from Jared Bayless because he's starting to come around. Andre Miller needs to be on the floor. Steve Blake needs to be on the floor. The only position I could really see you playing Nick right now is maybe at the four.
Yeah.
Or maybe Martell at the four. 6'7", 235. He's got the physical ability to
but
be
Nate
able to
has talked about playing Nick a little bit at the backup four, kind of filling that role that Travis had.
I don't think it'll be the four. I think it'll be Martell that slides over and guards the four because he's bigger and bulkier. Nicholas Batum would get pushed around. He's only, what, 210? At most 6'7", 6'8", 210. Mm-hmm. That's not big enough to guard a four position. You know, Paul Millsap, Carlos Boozer would eat his lunch, not because he's not going to work at it, but because he's just not heavy enough to handle the position.
Okay, before we hear from Brandon Roy, and I also want to give a quick update again on Joel Prisbilla in case you missed it at the start of the show, we need to tell you about the trivia question, the Horizon Air trivia question. We do have a winner, but the question tonight, Martell Webster changed his number this season from number 8 to number 23. Name the player that wore uniform numbers 30 and 31 during his time with the Blazers. The answer, of course, Tone?
Sam Bowie.
He wore number 30 during his rookie season, 84-85, and then he changed to number 31 his second year with the Blazers, and then Terry Porter, rookie, took over number 30 that season. And our winner tonight, Terry Martinez of Portland, and he picks up the $25 gift certificate to Typhoon and also is entered into the drawing for the Horizon Air tickets that down to Santa Rosa, California.
Now, did you know that Sam Bowie was my veteran when I came into the league?
No.
Yeah, he was the guy who broke me in, taught me what the game was all about in terms of not so much on the court, but off the court, how to carry yourself, how to be a professional.
Everybody talks about the knee, the injuries and everything, but what kind of a guy was he?
Phenomenal guy. Great leader, understood, really brought me along slow, didn't throw me out there to the dogs. You know, I started my first game, and it completely overwhelmed me, but he was the guy that pulled me to the side and said, Harv, slow down. You know, you can't play this game in fifth gear all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to downshift, and then you got to go back to fifth. Perfect veteran, great guy. I still look up to Sam Bowie to this day.
It's always a car analogy with you, isn't it?
Well, you
fifth
know.
Fifth gear, first
my
gear.
Car actually doesn't have five gears right now. It's got the glide, I think it's called the Super Glide transmission. So it only has three gears.
But does it have four working tires with air in them?
It moves.
That's the question.
You know what?
Because I got a call from you the other night saying, I need a ride. My car's got a flat tire.
Yeah, it had a flat tire the other night.
It's all right. It's all fixed.
We're just very fortunate that the Saints didn't get a flat tire the other night when they faced the Minnesota Vikings they got that victory that took them to the Super Bowl NFC champions. That's right. The New Orleans Saints, baby.
There you go. Yes. Super Bowl 44 coming up February 7th, Saints and Colts. All right, I don't want to run out of time here. I want to let people hear a little bit from Brandon Roy because I caught up with him. He talked to the media today down at the practice facility. We haven't heard a lot from Brandon the last few days as he's fighting back from the strained hamstring. Here's a little bit of what Brandon told us earlier today at the PF.
How are you feeling these days?
Still a somewhat of a slow process because I sat out six days last week, and I went out there and it flared up on me. So we're gonna try to be patient with it, but at the same time, I just got to be honest with how I'm feeling. If I feel it, they want to keep me out.
Do you have a sense as to how much longer it might be?
No. Today I did some things with the band where I was backpedaling and doing a little bit of running, but I don't think until after this game, maybe Friday, they'll let me go into some on the court stuff where I'm trying to simulate some movements, but I don't think they're going to let me do that until Friday.
How did everything come about with this process and using the platelet-rich transfusion? Because that is pretty new. How was that kind of brought to you and discussed with you?
It came up, I think, about 2 weeks ago when it first kind of started. Well, second time it actually flared up on me. And we were just trying to think of what's the quickest way we can, get back on the court. So, our trainers, they called a number of doctors, from a number of different places, and everybody kind of said it's a good thing. They use it on a lot of guys, not not too many basketball players have the hamstring, so it's mostly done with football players and track and field. So, you know, he's got a lot of information on it. And then, I said, yeah, I'll be willing to try it. And, you know, it still takes time. You know, they say mostly a week and a half, 2 weeks to really get the best results. So my thing is just trying to be patient and I want to be out there with the guys. So I'm just trying to do whatever I can to get back as quick as possible.
Did you talk to any of the other guys who had it done, like any of the NFL guys?
No, I just talked to the doctors, and then I was fortunate enough to be able to, talk to Dr. Dresner up in Seattle, who was my doctor in college. So that made it even better, because I really trusted him there. So it was cool to be able to talk to him for a while on the phone about it, and then when we flew back up there, I was able to, he sat down with me for a long time before, just kind of went over, a number of different things. So I didn't really feel like I needed to talk to any players yet because, it was good to get his advice, but I don't really, talk to players unless I see them in person.
Sure. So is it as sore or tender as it was, say, before you had the procedure done, or is it better? Or how?
It feel like it's getting better, but it's. I can't tell if it's just the rest or the shot. More than anything, it's just. I think the rest is going to be the number one cure, but. It's hard to say. I wouldn't say it feels much better than it did last year after 4 or 5 days. I just think I just got to continue to be patient with it. If I feel it when I'm working out, I got to be honest. Instead of running back out there to play and I'm not fully ready yet.
Is that hard for you?
Yeah, it is. Because if I feel like if I feel good waking up in the morning, I want to try to play. But they don't want this to keep play one game miss the next five. So we got to make sure it's right so that way I can come back and finish things out.
All right, there was Brandon Roy from earlier today, a little perspective on how he's feeling. He said he'll reevaluate it Thursday and make a decision then about whether or not he'll go on the upcoming road trip. We got to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit more also about Joel Prisbilla and get you ready for that Blazers-Jazz game tomorrow night as we continue here on Trailblazers Courtside.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
All right, wrapping things up here on a Tuesday night on Trailblazers Courtside. Did want to tell you, we talked to Joel Prisbilla earlier today. He's doing great. The rehab is going well. He said that he has no doubt he'll be ready for the start of training camp. So that's good news, definitely. Tone, final thoughts, Blazers and Jazz tomorrow night.
It's going to be about effort. Every game this season has been about effort and sustaining effort over the course of 48 minutes. If they can do that, like they did against Philadelphia and other teams on that road trip, they'll be just fine.
All right, 6 o'clock coverage both on the Trailblazers Radio Network and Comcast Sportsnet. Thanks to all of our guests tonight. Also, Mike Barrett, Rebecca Harlow, and Tony Harvey, thanks for coming in this evening. The entire crew as well. We'll see you out here tomorrow night at the Rose Garden as the Blazers take on the Jazz. Have a great night.
Blazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, has been brought to you by Branding, your brand management partner. This has been a Blazers Broadcasting Sports presentation.